I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all your curly questions. Sabrina, we were just talking about bushwalking, hiking. Do you have a view on whether it's okay to be calling it hiking? Does it annoy you?
It doesn't annoy me at all, and I think in the scheme of things it doesn't really matter whether you call it bushwalking or hiking because bushwalking can include hiking. I've always sort of thought of hiking as mountain climbing, which I've done a bit of.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying. The difference is hiking, you know, you're going up a steep incline.
Yeah, and you usually have to get up at the bloody crack of dawn to get up to the summit of the mountain as the sun comes up, I've found. So I don't think it really matters. I think what's really important is that if people do a long bushwalk or a long hike, then it changes people's whole attitude towards life. I think it's one of the, to go on a long hike or bushwalk, I think it's one of the very best things that you can do in your entire life.
Yeah, even the Cape to Cape mates of mine who've done that just, yeah, yep. you do come back changed. On the text line, David in Guildford says, the best thing about hiking is stopping hiking. doing Northcliffe to Walpole over the sodden Porongurrup Plains is amazing. Larry reckons it's only hiking if you're carrying a tent. Otherwise, it's called a hill walk, mountaineering, or ute. And James says bushwalking and hiking are different. A walk is a stroll, a leisurely outing. A hike is more strenuous. Anyway, thank you very much for that. Now, we have got a question for you from Tony in Stirling, the dreaded chilli thrips. Tony, what's happened?
Well, about 2 or 3 years ago, I had problems with grapes being stolen by rats, and you were kind enough to recommend fennel, which solved the problem, although we did have to wash the grapes. It worked a treat, and my wife was able to eat grapes, which was great. I tried it this year on just out of a stupidity. I tried fennel on my roses. I got standard roses out the front, and I didn't get any chilli thrips this year.
Is that right? Now, just for people who are listening, Joe, they may think that we're talking about fennel, but we're actually talking about fennel, which is a cleaning product that you use on your bins, or in the olden days they used to line the dunny tins with it. So don't go and buy seeds of fennel or a fennel plant. This is a different thing. It's fennel.
Fennel.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But that's really good to know, Tony, that it actually worked on everything.
Well, I'm hoping.
Yeah. Hey, can you ring us back and let us know if it does work?
I will certainly do that. And you were talking about hiking. Does my more walking include on that, or?
No. You're going to have to try harder, Tony.
Oh, you're very funny, Tony.
You're going to have to try a lot harder.
On the text line, Ronnie in Albany has been given an elk stag horn. He's got a piece of wood. He's bought some moss. What does he need to do to care for it, please?
Ah, awesome. Okay, so depending on how big the elk horn or stag horn is, you're just going to put a little bit of sphagnum moss, which you pre-soak in water. You're going to put that behind the platelet. You don't need a lot. You only actually need about 1 centimetre thickness to go behind the elk horn. And some people use wire, like fencing wire, to hold the elk horn onto the piece of wood. Make sure you wet the wood as well as the moss.
So give it a good soaking.
Yeah, it needs to be nice and moist, and then needs to be in a protected position. It will take dappled light. The thing that elk horns and stag horns do not like is strong winds, Ronnie. So Albany does from time to time. get some fairly decent wind. So you need to find a protected spot for it out of the wind and just with dappled light.
Brilliant. We had some beauties when we were living in Queensland, but of course, very different climate over there. Very, very different. Yeah. Clayton needs some help with his woolly bush. It was doing great for 8 months in a terracotta pot. It started to lose colour and wilt. Checked it for too wet, too dry. Took out of the pot to check the roots. Didn't find anything. Replanted it in the garden this long weekend. Please help.
Oh, what a brave man. So, because woolly bushes are a bit fickle, Joe. If they lose their colour and wilt, that's usually it's usually overwatering, not underwatering. They're pretty tough cookies. The only thing you can do now is to give it a little top prune. So I'd be taking off. I don't know how big it is. Well, it's 8 months, so I'd be taking off not a third, less than a third, and then just make sure it's not getting too wet, because that's usually why they wilt.
Yeah, he did say he checked for the wetness. Mm. So yeah, that's tricky.
It might just want to go out and play, Joe, because being in a pot for 8 months, and it's probably the root system's gone. Get me out of here. Put me in the soil.
Well, he's done that.
Probably that. Yeah, I know. He's just done it.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
So he put it in on the long weekend. So I reckon it should be fine now. Just make sure you don't overwater.
A little patience. Thank you for the person saying, of course, pinger up, not paronga up. I misspoke a little earlier. Mary says with chili thrips, a friend told Mary that she's controlled the thrips on her roses with a few drops of washing up detergent diluted in water in a spray bottle. Would you recommend that?
Well,
that sounds like a
Mary's
no.
Mary's friend has had a lot of luck with it. Look, I know people that have for the last 3 years, Joe, tried absolutely everything. Dishwashing detergent, peppermint oil, all the sprays, everything on the market, hosing them down every morning with the hose seemed to have worked, but they tend to come back as soon as you stop that practice. Look, it's worthwhile trying anything.
Yeah, just give it a go.
Because every garden's different, so some things will work for some people and others won't. So definitely give it a crack. Few drops of dishwashing liquid in a spray bottle and see how you go.
Good. There's a bit of love for you from Mark in Cable. Hello, Mark. He says, Sabrina, you got the hiking definition right, you got the fennel right, you got the music right, and you get the gardening always right. And someone's just saying, can we spell the fennel? Is it P-H-E-N-Y-L-E?
Yes, Y-L-E, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Yep. We've got some calls coming through. Barbara, we haven't had questions about lemon trees for a while. Barbara, what's going on?
I'm almost in mourning.
Over to you, Barbara.
I am. I've got this beautiful old lemon tree, but it's very badly covered in gall, and I've been removing as many branches as I can reach, but it's has a beautiful crop of lemons, and I'm wondering, is it safe to eat the lemons when the branches are affected with the gall?
Oh, yes, no problem at all, Barbara. The wasp, the only reason they go to the lemon tree is to lay their babies. So the reason for the swelling is they lay an egg inside there, and that's the plant's reaction to the egg being in there, and then they emerge. So they'll go through a few growth stages, and then they emerge as a wasp. But there is no problem whatsoever eating the lemons. There's nothing in there that will harm you.
Just get rid of the gall wasps so that everybody else doesn't get them. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good luck,
yeah,
Barbara.
I know.
Hopefully this Sandra's in Scarborough. Hello, Sandra. Are you in Scarborough?
Yes. Hi, Joe. Hi, Sabrina. So I've just got two of the macrocarpas in pot, in a sunny spot. One of them is flowering quite nicely. The other one sort of looks a bit dull and not droopy, but couldn't see anything on the leaves except on a couple, some really tiny brown dots. Nothing sort of obvious. Yeah.
Now, macrocarpus, it's a eucalypt for people that don't know what it is, and they're stunning. They have enormous flowers. So they are really quite soil-specific, and you're in Scarborough. Sandra, they usually grow on sort of gravelly, loamy clay soils. So it might just be that you need to dig a little bit of clay around the base of the plant, and I'd put some trace elements down around it, particularly iron, some iron chelates, or just trace elements, because they don't really thrive that well on beach sand, which is what you're on. So just adding a bit of clay would help, and some rock minerals.
Jenny, you've got an issue with a tree, I think.
Yeah, that's correct. Hi, Sabrina. I can't believe your lines aren't full. I'd speak to you every day if I could.
They are now. Everyone needed a bit of encouragement.
Absolutely. Sabrina, we have a line of Silver Princess at our property in 2J. We recently had electricians dig a trench some 2 metres away from those Silver Princess, but two of them have died, and I've got another one that I think has had a root that's been knocked by that. Oh. Have I got any chance of rescuing? It's about 3 metres tall. It's already showing signs of some areas browning off.
Of death. Okay, now
that's
the
so
great
devastating,
thing
isn't
about
it?
I know. But the great thing about Silver Princess is you can actually coppice them. So you can cut them down to near ground level to get them to reshoot from the base. That's really going to be the only hope that for you, Jenny. I know it sounds severe, but
worth giving it a go.
It's really that's the only alternative for you now. Because once they start looking like they're going to die, they usually die within a week.
Oh, good luck. They're such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, and when they flower, them. They're just absolutely stunning. Okay, Mari wants to ask you about Grevillea. Mari, hello.
Hi, it's Marie. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, Marie. Sorry, Marie.
That's right. Hi, Sabrina. I've got a yellow Olivacea grevillea, which was doing wonderful. It didn't flower last winter or spring. And now I'm just noticing it's got a lot of, it kind of looks like jelly-like goo on the trunk, which then turns like golden and goes hard.
Oh, okay. So that's actually the sap. And that means
Marie.
Yep.
Like three, my mum would say.
Oh, very good. That means that something is boring into it. Don't think it's polyphagous. There are quite a few beetles that bore into grevilleas. Now, what happens is that gum becomes hard. Now, what you can do is pick that gum off, get a shish kebab stick, and poke it in the hole. Because if you get a lot more of the borer, it's going to kill your bottle brush.
Yeah, because I have had some branches where the leaves have then gone yellow and it looks like it's, going to die.
Yeah. So where is the gum?
So it's a grevillea though, yeah?
Yeah. I mean the gum that's coming out of the grev.
Oh, it's a lot down the bottom and then going up some trunks. So at the moment a lot of it is soft, like very soft.
Yep.
But it does go hard.
Yeah. Okay, so the only thing you can do is shish kebab stick it and hope for the best, hope that you actually squash the grub that's in there, because it's the larvae that causes the damage, and then it comes out as an adult. beetle.
Go stick that grub. Kill the grub. Kill the grub,
nothing,
Marie.
Yeah. There's nothing else that you can do.
Sabby, I think I've located Sandra, who wanted to ask you about a bottle brush. Sandra, can you hear us?
Yeah, definitely can hear you. Sorry, just had technical difficulties before.
Ah, wonderful.
What? Sorry, I missed that as well. Don't tell me it's technical difficulties again.
No, just ask us the question.
What can we do?
Okay. So I think I have bottle brush. I'm not entirely sure, but it's the kind of cylindrical red flowers. And I brought two of them about 8 years ago. So they're about 2.5 metres tall. They're a particular variety where they grow like tall and slim. They don't really grow outwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The question finally is that I really want to move them both to a different location. Is that wise? And if it is wise, what's the best way to go about it?
Okay, so how old are they? How long have they been where they are, Sandra?
Yeah, so they've been there, I reckon, a good 8 years. I've got them as little ones now there.
No.
That's a lot of no's.
I'm sorry. That's a lot of no's. They're not going to survive it, Sandra, unless you've got someone that will come in with an excavator and you get all the root ball. But if you don't, it's going to be a 50-50 chance.
Oh, not great news. Sorry, Sandra. No. Hopefully you've got better news for Eleanor. I think Eleanor's got an orchid. What's going on, Eleanor?
Good afternoon, ladies. My beautiful orchid, which is one of those ones you buy at the shop, has got a plant. It's got a baby, and it's about 3 inches. So I would like to plant it. But I also have other orchids which are very poorly because, not doing very well. So I'm thinking, how can I keep this one?
Okay, so the baby orchid, you need to go and get yourself orchid mix to grow it in. That's got to be really, really free draining, chunky. Now, with orchid mix, I actually mix in 2/3 orchid mix and 1/3 potting mix because you want you'll need a little bit of something around the root system of the baby orchid. It needs to be kept humid. So if you transplant it into a small pot, cut the bottom off a soft drink bottle and put that over the top so that the humidity stays in there. It's really important to keep them super humid and warm.
It's so wonderful when you have, I've got a few orchids that have been, because they're a great present that I've had for years and then they flower and it's like, oh, and you remember the person that gave it to you. And yeah, they're beautiful. Mm. They are beautiful. Good luck with your orchid, Eleanor.
I know.
Okay, Tim's got a raspberry plant waffle. I hope that means more to you than it does to me, Tim. What's going on?
G'day there. Sorry, perhaps I wasn't clear. It's a raspberry jam wattle. I can't remember the scientific name for it.
That sounds better.
Yes.
I know it.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if you're going to waffle on about a raspberry plant, but now I know you're talking about a wattle. I'm all good.
Yeah.
I'm all good. Okay, so what's the question?
Look, I planted it about 2 years ago from a little sapling, and the first sort of 12 months it did all right until the end of summer where the leaves started going yellow and dropping off. And I thought that might have been my bore water might have been a little bit acidic, so I capped off the sprinklers around it. The same has happened again this year, and in a bit of, desperation to try and keep it going, I dumped an awful lot of iron-rich liquid fertiliser on it, and it seemed to do the trick for a bit. And it sprouted like mad, and then, you know, it's a bit of a temporary measure, and then the same thing has started happening again. But I'm wondering, all the rest of my little native plants in that particular garden bed are going gangbusters. They're all planted at about the same time. But this little raspberry jam wattle has got me scratching my head, and I'm not sure what to do.
Okay, well, that's really interesting, Tim, because that wattle is as tough as old boots. I'm surprised it didn't drop dead when you gave it all the iron, actually. Now, wattles are really susceptible to grubs, to borers. They get in through the root system. And I think I'm pleased you turned the water off because that can, if they get too much water, they just, the jam wattle is really, really tough. So I'm amazed actually that you didn't over fertilize it and kill it. Not much you can do. You can give it a prune back. Do not give it any fertilizer whatsoever. Nothing at all. Zip, zero, nyeh, for the
unforeseeable future.
Wattle.
Waffles go way better with raspberries than wattles, so no wonder.
Yeah, they
no
do.
Wonder
I agree.
About waffles. Let's try and squeeze in another call. Robin's in Narrogin. What's happening, Robin?
Hi, I have an album monstera, and I actually did send some photos through. I don't know if you got them, but the leaves go very brown all the time. And I was just wondering.
Okay, so have you got it inside or outside?
No, they're outside.
Okay, so that alba wattle monstera is like a suki suki la la one. Is it in the ground or in a pot?
No, in a pot.
Oh, okay. I would be moving it to a warmer position. So if the leaves are going brown, it's going to be too cold for where it is. So if you can move it somewhere where it still gets light but is where it's sort of like a little cozy corner.
Find a little cozy corner for it. I think we've got time for one more call. Elaine Bunbury, what's happening, Elaine?
Oh, hi, Sabrina. Look, my recently purchased clematis from the beautiful, wonderful Perth Garden Festival.
Oh, yes. I bought three.
Oh, I know. Look, the leaves turned brown. The flowers, sort of the buds that were on it, sort of just didn't materialise. Yep. And I haven't put it in a pot yet because I haven't decided exactly where I'm going to put it. But it's sulking and looking pretty sad. And I've got others that are actually in pots that are looking really good. So can you see from the photograph that I sent anything that's that's obvious?
The photo hasn't come through yet. But what I can tell you is all those clematis that were being sold, they're all going into their dormancy now, Elaine.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a normal, it's natural, it's a normal thing. They're all dying down. So you can definitely repot it. It won't emerge, or you can leave it in that pot and it will emerge in spring.
I'm looking at the photo,
so
Sabby.
So those ones are winter,
it's got sort
winter
of
dormant.
Dead leaves at the top. Some of the other leaves look a little discoloured, a little yellow, but hopefully that's just it going into dormancy.
Yeah. It's going into dormancy. Okay. It's quite a natural and normal thing.
Oh, wonderful. That's more hopeful. Before I let you go, Sabrina Hahn, Penny sent in a message saying you must see the film Wilding, which is all about the story of a family that wilded their property in the UK and the results. It sounds pretty good. Have you seen it?
Oh, no, but I'm going to. I've just written that down and I shall watch that while I'm over here in Wagga.
Fantastic.
I'll go wilding in Wagga.
Wagga Wagga. It's a place. That is wonderful, and you are there. And we are very sorry to everybody else whose questions we didn't get to, but you will be back, won't you?
I will indeed, Joe.
Okay. Ciao, ciao. Have fun.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.